love. And that means that without God, there would be no love in this world. And we are so grateful for a God who loves us. It is a gift. And Lord Jesus, we want to just offer ourselves to you this morning, offer ourselves as a symbol of love back to you. Lord God, you have demonstrated your love over and over and over again for us, coming down and being born in the humblest of places and in the humblest of ways, going to a cross and dying in one of the worst ways possible to demonstrate that you were willing to offer yourself for us, to lay down your life for us because of your great love. Lord God, you loved us before the creation of the world. You saw a need for one of us in this world. And that means there's a purpose and a plan for every life in this room, for every life beyond these doors, for every life that has breath on this planet. We thank you. We thank you for being a God who loves so deeply. How deep the Father's love for us. So vast beyond measure. Lord God, we offer this time to you. We thank you. We thank you. Such simple words, but really, I don't know how else to say it. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the words you want to speak over us this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come and fellowship with other Christians, to gather in your name. All this we pray in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to church. And it is a very brisk morning. And thank you for braving the roads to get here. I want to remind you that we are still have the boxes in the back for your offering and to put your prayer requests in. And there is a lot of stuff happening in March. I know March is still a few weeks away, but you need to look at that because there's things like a ladies' movie night, a men's wild game dinner, an extravaganza. Yes, we are going to be having that. And so we're excited. So be waiting and looking for those. Also, the House of Prayer is tonight. So if the roads are still decent and you feel safe coming to that, please come. And we just meet here in this room and pray over things that you guys request, over things that others request. And it's just an awesome time of prayer. And so please come to that. And I need Kim up here. Kim has another announcement, but this one's a very exciting one. They all are.
No surveys to fill out this week. Thank you guys for participating in that. It was very exciting to look through those, and we're praying over those now. Lynn or Eric, do you have a picture to put up there? You know, our mission at Bethel Church is to share the love of Christ in our community and around the world, and we want to invite people to come follow Jesus with me. And one thing that we have prayed for a long time and dreamed about doing is by investing into the children and their families, by putting a park in the back of our church. And if you look up here in the drawing, you can see we have the dream coming true, and we're starting with phase one. We have received some undesignated gifts, and we're able to start the first phase of this, and it's going to happen this spring. The Bethel Park Project is going to begin with the installation of a playground. There it is. Like that. So we're pretty excited about it. And a Gaga ball pit. Does anybody out here know what Gaga ball is? Yeah, I think especially our elementary and junior high and high school kids absolutely know what Gaga ball is, and they're pretty excited about it. So the Bethel Park Project is going to begin, like I said, with the playground and the Gaga ball pit. And in time and as funding is available, we're going to add to the park in additional phases. So we'll go back, and you can see around there's other phases that we're dreaming of being able to have happen. So we are excited, and we are praying already for how this space can be used to help in our mission to invite others to come follow Jesus with me. I can imagine this being a place where the young families are going to invite their friends to come and play at the church, at the park, and that grandparents can bring their kids to play at the park. It's going to be open and available, and we're just excited for what God's going to do and how he's going to use this park. It's going to be a space for fun and for building relationships. And in the foyer, if you want an up-close look at it, there's a picture of the playground and all the phases out there. So we are just excited and wanted to share that awesome news with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. That is exciting. An investment in our kids and in their future. And I'm just sure some of the adults will be sliding down those slides too. I just figure it out. Some of them probably will. No adults going down. Hey, the last couple Sundays, we've had a special visitor that I keep forgetting to announce because I just keep missing her, but little Addison's in the back, Addison McKnight. She's just a few weeks old, and let's welcome Addison back in the back. Yeah, there she is. Congratulations to Brian and Stephanie on their new little addition to their family. We're excited for you guys. And I'm glad I saw you back there today instead of missing you. But congratulations. We're going to take a few minutes and receive a few members into the church this morning. So there's just a few. If you're part of that group that's joining, come up right now. I think there's four of you that are in this service. Yeah. Yeah. Just come and stand in front of me here. To become a member of the church, you either have to, you know, if you've already been a member of a Nazarene church, you transfer your membership, or you take a class and learn about what the church believes and do that. And these folks did that, so we want to receive them into membership because I've already seen some of them voting out there, and they have to be members to vote. So we want to make them legal, right? Okay. We do have an agreed statement of belief that we read. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that human beings are born in sin, that they need the work of forgiveness through Christ and the new birth by the Holy Spirit, that subsequent to this, there's a deeper work of heart cleansing or entire sanctification through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And to each of these works of grace, the Holy Spirit gives witness. We believe that our Lord will return, the dead shall be raised, and all shall come to final judgment with its rewards and punishments. So I ask you, do you believe those truths? If so, say I do. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior? If so, say I do. And do you desire to unite with the Church of the Nazarene? Do you covenant to work together in harmony with the beliefs of the Church? And will you seek to glorify God by your walk with Christ, seeking to live the holy life that God calls us to live? If so, say I will. All right, thank you. Just turn and I'll introduce you to the congregation. You guys probably all know these folks anyway. Some of them just kind of got married into the church, like Tyson. Tyson Cook here, welcome. And then so his wife was already a member, so we just brought him on in. Wonderful. Glad to have you. But he's been here a long time. We have Brendan Potter, welcome, and McKenna Potter. Two wonderful young people. We welcome you into the membership of the church. And Mike Reese. He also kind of got married into the church. His wife's already a member, but we welcome him. These are wonderful people. We have some people that are joining by transfer. Eric and Nikita Vandenbosch are back there. You can wave. You don't have to get up. And then we have Ashton and Sean and Aston Lanier. I don't know if they're here. Anyway, they're joining by membership transfer as well. But anyway, welcome these folks in the membership of the church. Thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't even make you do that dance that we worked on at the class. But anyway, just kidding about the dance. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15. I think it's appropriate that it's Valentine's Day today, that we're looking at a passage of Scripture in Luke 15 that really talks about the love of God, how much God loves us, that he would seek us out so that we could know him. And wonderful stories in Luke 15. A lot of people call it the gospel within the gospels, Luke 15. Three amazing stories. We're going to look at two of them this morning about the love of the Father seeking out those that are lost. So stand as we read God's word. Luke 15 said, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for these wonderful stories that Jesus told to tell us about how much you love us and what you want for us. So we pray that you'll speak to us through your word today. Want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So there's a crowd that was gathering to listen to Jesus on this day. Part of the crowd was tax collectors and sinners. Now, tax collectors were considered to be the worst of the sinners. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders that were there also, they were not really there to listen. They were just to cause trouble. They were to find something to accuse Jesus of. And they were complaining that Jesus was hanging out and welcoming these tax collectors and sinners. They didn't have a very good attitude. And in response to their bad attitude, Jesus tells them these parables about a God who seeks us. And amazing parables. The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin all represent people who are lost. The lost condition of people is where we begin. In both the stories, something's lost. A sheep is lost, a coin is lost. Now, sheep, we can understand, they have a tendency to stray away. That's just the kind of the nature of sheep. They have a tendency to get lost. They do it quite easily. The lady that lost her coin, many people believe that in that day, oftentimes you would have a wedding band that was given to you at a wedding that you would wear after your wedding that had 10 coins in it. That maybe the coin she lost was one of these 10 coins. So it not only had monetary value, it had sentimental value. And she lost it, and she's looking for it. Lost sheep and lost coin refer to lost people. When the Bible talks about people who don't know Jesus Christ, their Savior, they describe them as lost. They're lost. They need found. And the problem, of course, is sin, right? We're separated from God because of sin. Sin is what makes us into lost people. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is a disobedience against God. Sin is going our own way and forgetting about God. The prophet Isaiah talked about this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. Now, one of the problems that we have in trying to help people be found is they don't understand sometimes that they're lost. There are a lot of people in our world that don't think they're lost, but they're lost. You have to understand you're lost first before you can be found. I can remember many, many years ago, my wife and I, we got a trip and we ended up in Italy. And we were in Rome, Italy, with another couple and a group, traveling group we were with. And if I don't know if you've ever been to Rome, but it's a very confusing city. They have these little roundabouts, and then all the streets take off in these angles, and then it's just really confusing. But I was looking at a map, and I was convinced that I knew where I was going. I was convinced. I wasn't lost. I knew where we were going. And we went for quite a while, and my wife lovingly suggested maybe we're lost. But I was adamant, no, we're not lost. I know where I'm going. It took me quite a while to finally admit I was lost. I didn't have a clue where I was going. And ever since then, I have to rely on my wife. She's my compass. She doesn't get lost. I get lost. So I ask her where we're at or where we need to go. But a lot of people are in this world are like me, trying to find my way around Rome. They're lost and they won't want to admit it. But the fact is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. You're lost. We have to admit that we're lost. We have to admit that we're sinners that have sinned against God. We're also separated from eternal life. When you're lost, the whole idea of being lost means you're separated from where you need to be. We were created to know God in a relationship. And when you're not in that relationship, you're separated from that relationship, meaning you're lost. You're lost. Now, when you're lost, you're separated from God. God is the source of eternal life, so you're separated from eternal life. You do not have eternal life. You're not going to live forever with Him in heaven if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're separated from eternal life. Jesus said it very clearly in John 3 when He said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Pretty clear. We're also separated from our purpose. The sheep in the story that was lost could not be productive while they were lost. Instead of providing wool or food for its owner, it would be useless, no purpose. The coin would not serve the purpose that it was meant for when it's lost. When you're lost, you've lost your purpose. It's only when you've found and returned that you can find your purpose again. And like I said, we are created to have a relationship with God. When you're lost, you don't have that purpose. And out of that purpose comes ways to serve Him and be a part of His kingdom and serve Him. And we lose that when we're lost. When we're lost, we're also in great danger. A lost sheep will not survive out in the wilderness by itself. They will die. They'll freeze to death. They'll starve to death. Most likely, they'll be eaten by predators. So when the shepherd goes out to find the sheep, he's rescuing it. The sheep's going to die. People who are lost, that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, are in great danger. And the danger is where they will spend eternity. Those who are lost will not enter into the glories of heaven, but instead into the horrors of hell. Now, God does not want anybody to go to hell. We know that. That's why He sent Jesus to this earth, to give salvation to all who will believe in Him. That's God's plan, but He respects our choices. If we choose to reject God's offer of salvation, we condemn ourselves. So a lost person is in great danger. These stories of the person who seeks gives us a picture of the loving heart of the Father who seeks us. In the story, it's God who seeks who is lost because of His great love for us. This concept would really shock these religious leaders because their idea was shun these sinners. You shouldn't be hanging around tax collectors and sinners. Push them away. But he gives them a picture of a God that seeks after them, that seeks after them. The fact that we believe in a God that seeks us separates us from all other world religions. Do you know that? All other world religions, you have to seek after God. You have to do all these things and all these steps, all these rituals, all those things, and hopefully maybe you'll get there. But we serve a God who seeks us. That's the whole difference. He seeks after us, a loving God. We see it in the very first story in the Bible. You know, Adam and Eve, the first couple that was created on earth, they sinned against God. They realized what they've done. They hid from God because they were embarrassed of what they'd done. And the scripture says in Genesis 3 Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God from among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" God was seeking them. And this is really a picture of the whole Bible. God seeking man. God seeking us. God loves us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants to give us eternal life. He seeks us. It's amazing. And the reason is, we are of great value to God. You are of great value to God. Why did the shepherd leave the 99 and go look for the one? Because that one had value. Why did the woman forget everything and start searching her home for that one coin? Because the coin had value. It meant something to her and had value. We are of great value to God. We search for what is of great value. The year was 1941. Violet Bailey and her husband, her fiancé, Samuel Booth, were strolling through the English countryside, deeply in love and engaged to be married. A diamond engagement ring sparkled on Violet's finger, her most treasured possession. Their romantic bliss suddenly ended. One of them said something that hurt the other, and an argument ensued, then escalated. At its worst point, Violet became so angry, she pulled off her diamond engagement ring and threw it out into the field. The ring sailed through the air, fell to the ground in such a way it was impossible to see it. Well, Violet and Samuel made up after that, but they walked and walked through the field hunting for the ring and could never find it. They were married 2 months later. They had a child and eventually a grandson. Part of their family story was the story of this lost engagement ring. Every anniversary, they would have some regret and sorrow that they'd lost that ring. Violet and Samuel grew old together, and in 1993, Samuel died. 15 years passed by after that. One of Dave Violet's grandson got an idea. Perhaps if he got a metal detector, he could find that ring. So he went and bought a metal detector and went out where his grandma had hurled her treasured possession 67 years earlier with a metal detector going across the field. And after 2 hours of searching, he found what he was looking for. He found the ring, brought it back, and put it on his grandmother's hand. The treasured possession had finally come home after 67 years. It was worth searching for because it had great value. Sentimental value, a real value. It's a picture of how much God values us, that he would do a search for us. You see, God isn't just sitting in heaven watching people and say, well, they didn't receive me, I'll check them off the list. You know, too bad. No, he's moved. His heart is moved when someone doesn't know him. He seeks after them. He starts a search for them because they're so valuable to him. The verse that you all know so well, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Even though we are the ones who have strayed away from God, God searches for us. John 3:16 is his search. He searches for us by Jesus. God searches earnestly for us. The shepherd lost the sheep, went out to the countryside. It's not easy to find lost sheep in the countryside. He just didn't look over the edge and say, oh, I don't see it, too bad. He went out, he searched persistently, earnestly, searching, trying to find that sheep until he found it. The lady sweeps the floor, lights a lamp until she finds the lost coin. The prophet Ezekiel speaking to the Lord, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. You ever lost something that's really been hard to find? I remember many years ago when our girls were little, we were up at our family cabin. And one of the things that we do up there is float down the river, and we floated down the Middle Fork of the Payette River on that particular day. Nice day. And without thinking too clearly, I'd put in the keys to the cabin in my pocket in my swimming suit. We got back to the cabin, and the key was missing. It was our only way to get in the cabin. It's the only key we had with us. And so I left them there and said, I'll be back. And I walked up the road with the inner tube and began floating down the river on my stomach so I could look in the river, tried to follow the exact path that I floated in. It's not a very deep river, by the way. You can see to the bottom. The thing that I had going for me is the ring had a little bright blue vinyl thing on it. I thought, surely I can see that. So I floated down that river slowly, trying to follow the exact path that I went in the river. I was about 3/4 of the way back to the cabin in a sandy place, and I spotted the blue key ring and dove under the water and got it and came home and led us in the cabin. It's amazing that we found it. I thought I would never find it in that river. Earnest search. That's what God does for us. He earnestly searches for us. He doesn't give up. God loves us so much that he'll search for us. And he searches persistently for us. You know, in our corner of the world in Idaho, a lot of people get lost in the wilderness. You know, and what do? They have a search and rescue party. They go out looking for them, right? Well, after a few days, you know what they do? If they don't find them, they call off the search. They always call off the search. Maybe they search for a week or 10 days, and they call off the search. Kind of sad when you think about it. But we need to understand today that God never calls off the search. He never calls off the search. He's persistent in his search. The scripture says, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones be lost. He's searching. You'll never meet a person that God isn't searching for. Do not give up on the people that you're praying for that do not know Jesus, because God is searching for them. He will not give up on them. That's why sometimes you hear of people who accept Christ as their Savior right at the last minute on their deathbed. You know how that happens? Why that happens? Because God's still searching for them, seeking them to the last moment of their lives. The cross of Christ is a picture of God seeking us, searching for us persistently. The desire of God is that we be found. God is not pleased just with a search. He wants it found. The lost sheep is found. The coin is found. God wants us found. So he continues his search. He wants us found. The scripture says he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's God's desire. He wants everyone to come to repentance and place their faith in Jesus. You see, God sent Jesus to find lost people. Jesus, the good shepherd, sent to find the lost sheep. Jesus is God's search and rescue team, if you will, come to earth to find lost people. It's interesting that this statue, which was made in the 3rd century, it's in a museum in Rome right now, but is the oldest Christian statue found in the world. And the oldest statue found is of the Good Shepherd carrying a sheep. Isn't that interesting? That the early church in the 3rd century, when they thought of Jesus, this is what they thought of. The Good Shepherd finding the lost sheep. Tells us something about it, what they thought about Jesus. Jesus is the one that came to rescue the lost. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus did a lot of other things. He healed people. He did miracles. He cast out demons. But this is the main reason he came, to seek and save what was lost. You've probably heard the story of John Newton. He was a man that grew up in England and as a young boy was kind of driven out of his home and started out being a sailor and working for ships. And through a period of time, he got up in the shipping industry pretty well, and he was running slave trade. He was involved in the slave trade. And by his own testimony, he was an evil, vile man, just an evil man. But he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, changed his life. He became a minister and wrote that famous song, Amazing Grace, that we sing. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. was blind, but now I see. That's what God wants for us. He wants lost people to be found. God calls us to join the search. We are part of the search and rescue team. As followers of Jesus, we're part of the search and rescue team. Yeah, God is seeking people, but he also invites us to join in the search. We must be earnest in our search, persistent in love, searching for people who are lost. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." Thomas Road Baptist Church was running at that time in their history a very successful bus ministry, and they were busing kids in to come to church and Sunday school. But they're having trouble because some of the kids would go to Sunday school, then they'd skip church and play around outside, and then they'd come back in time to catch the bus home. So they deployed a couple ushers out there to make sure if they found any kids playing around outside the church, to grab them, bring them in, set them on the front row of the church service so they didn't miss church. One particular Sunday, two boys were seen outside the church, and these two ushers grabbed them, took them right up to the front row of the church, and sat them down. After the message and altar call was given, those two boys came forward and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. During the counseling afterwards, the man told them, "I'll find someone to take you home because the buses have already left." And the boys looked at him and said, "What do you mean buses? We were just walking by the church this morning, and these guys grabbed us and took us up the front of the church." That's probably not the preferred way of evangelism. It worked in that case. But we're part of the search and rescue team, right? To help find lost people and introduce them to Jesus. Tell them how they can be found. We have to respond through repentance and faith in Jesus. God wants to rescue lost people. But they have to want to be rescued. You know, one of the things that we did during this year, this crazy year, is decided we'd have chickens at our house. And so I built the chicken coop, and we bought six chickens, and we have six chickens at our house that give us eggs every day. It's amazing and wonderful. But one day I was out not too long ago getting the eggs, and we don't let them out of the coop because they're really not set up for them to run in the yard very easy, but one of them snuck out while I was getting the eggs, just snuck by me and ran out. The bad news is our dog, Tilly, was out, so she decided this would be really fun to chase chickens around the yard. So Tilly was chasing the chickens, and I was chasing Tilly and the chicken, trying to catch his chicken. Doesn't work very well, by the way, to do that. You know, the chicken was getting a lot of exercise, and they don't fly very high, you know, about this high, and then they go back there because they're fat. But I finally decided I had to get Tilly first, so I chased Tilly and put her in the house. Then I could try to chase the chicken. Have any of you tried to catch a chicken? It's near impossible, near impossible. They're fast and short bursts, and there's a reason they're called chickens. They're chicken. They're scared of you, and they run away. And so I'm chasing the chicken around the backyard very unsuccessfully. I was really glad no one had a camera that was recording this. My wife wishes she'd have seen it and recorded it. So I finally decided the only way I could catch a chicken, I went in and got my big fishing net that I use when I go fishing for steelhead. It's about, 6 feet long, big net. And I was able to catch up with the chicken finally and catch the chicken. And you thought I would kill her the way she was squawking. Put her back safely in the chicken coop where she's supposed to live. I rescued her. But she didn't think I was rescuing her. She thought I was going to kill her. I mean, she was running like crazy to get away from me. She needed to repent, right? To turn and come to me and trust in me. And I would have taken care of her and put her home. Sometimes people are like chickens. God's trying to rescue them, to give them the heavenly home, but they run. They run away. God has amazing gifts for them, eternal life and salvation and heaven, and we run just like the chicken. We need to respond through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. The scripture says, Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. There's a story told in the city of London. There's a thing called the Charing Cross. And all the distances across the city are measured from this central point. Locals simply refer to it as the cross. Well, there was one day there was a little child that was lost in the city, and a policeman tried to help him, and the boy was crying. He didn't know he got separated from his family, didn't know where his home was. The policeman was asking him questions. Do you know where you live? Do you have your address? What do you know about where you live? And to no avail. And finally, the little boy, with tears streaming down the face, said, if you'll just take me to the cross, I can find my home, way home from there. He knew how to get home from the cross. And same thing for us. When we're lost, we need to look at the cross and see what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And from there, we can find our way home. He'll forgive us. He'll give us eternal life. There's also the joy in the story of the lost are being found. In the story, there's great joy. Every time it's found, the sheep and the coin, there's joy. There's joy for the one who is found. Joy for the one who is found. There was a lady that we got to pastor for a few years named Marge. Marge was really one of the most joyful people I know. But she didn't start out that way. She was a war bride, came over, her husband met her during World War II over in England, and she shipped over and married him, moved out in the boonies in northern Idaho to live. They were not believers at all. But their girl was connected with some people in our church, went to summer camp up at Camp Pine Low above Spokane. She was saved at that camp. She called her mom, said, Mom, I've been saved. I've been changed. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And Marge said, it's just a bunch of hoodoo. You'll get over that. It'll wear off. Don't worry about it. Just a bunch of nonsense. Well, the girl came home, and she was really changed. And Marge realized her daughter was really changed because it never went away. Her daughter was different. So Marge started coming to church, and she got saved. Her husband started coming to church, and he got saved. Whole family got saved. And she became a joyful person because there's a joy available nowhere else than in a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a joy of the one who is found, the one who is found. You're where you're supposed to be. You're in a relationship with God that you were created to be in, and there's great joy in that. There's also joy for the one who is searching. When the shepherd finds a lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Great joy in finding what was lost. The scientist Louis Pasteur was a pioneer of immunology. He lived for a while when thousands of people were dying from rabies. And Pasteur worked for a vaccine for many, many years. Just as he was about ready to test the vaccine on himself, there was a 9-year-old, Joseph Meister, who was bitten by a dog and got rabies. The mother pleaded Pasteur to experiment on her son. So Pasteur injected Joseph for 10 days and the boy lived. Decades later, of all the things that Pasteur could think about to put on his headstone, he asked for these three words to be put on there. Joseph Meister lived. He'd saved that boy's life. And it made all the difference to him. Let me just tell you, there's no greater difference you can make than to help someone else be in heaven for all of eternity. Think about it. What is it going to be like in heaven when we have those great reunions up there and we see people that we know and loved ones, and for them to say, you're the reason I'm here. You're the reason I'm here. Because you shared Jesus with me. I'm here because of you. No greater joy than that. So it makes us ask ourselves a question. Are there people who are going to live forever in heaven because of your life? Because of my life? There's great joy in helping someone be found by Jesus. There's also joy for those that hear about it, that hear the lost is found. In the parables, the shepherd shared the story of the sheep, and they had a party. And the girl that found the coin shared, and they had a party. They celebrated. We celebrate when someone knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why we light this candle up here on Sundays. When we hear of someone accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, we want to celebrate that wonderful thing that has happened. And here's the amazing thing, the most amazing thing I think of all, is there's joy from the throne of heaven. Jesus says here, after each of these parables, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And in verse 10 he says it again, the same way I tell you there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, it takes quite a bit for the Bible to mention celebrations in heaven. It's only a few places. Luke chapter 2, there's a celebration when Jesus comes to earth. Revelation chapter 5, there's a celebration in heaven, the exaltation of Christ. Revelation 14, there's a celebration with the gathering of saints in heaven. Revelation 19, the triumph of the righteous at the end. And here, this scripture right here, there's rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents and places their faith in Jesus Christ. Now think about it. It's interesting. Verse 10 says, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Now the angels might join in on the rejoicing, but it doesn't say they're the angels that are rejoicing. It says it's done in their presence. Who's rejoicing? God. God is rejoicing. Do you understand that we have a God that when we accept his offer of salvation, even though we've sinned against him, we've hurt his heart, he loves us so much, he seeks after us. And when we accept this offer, he celebrates. He smiles, he laughs, he shouts, he celebrates the fact that we've accepted this amazing offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Okay, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that we have a God that's that amazing, that loves us that much, the God that created everything in the world, that one person repents of their sin and places their faith in Jesus, he celebrates. He's a God of joy. He celebrates. That's what he wants, for us to have this relationship with him. It's amazing. Praise his name. We have so much to be thankful for, my friends. So much to be thankful for, to have this amazing God that loves us, has done so much for us. So, you know, I say it often, but it's my sincere hope that everyone here in this room and everybody listening online knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you've been found. You're not lost, you're found. You're part of the family of God. If not, join. Place your faith in Jesus. Repent of your sin. Place your faith in Jesus. And then we need to help reach out. Help others find him as well. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to have a time of prayer. And you can come pray about anything you want to pray about. I'm going to suggest that you might want to come pray for some lost people that you know. Pray that God will give you an opportunity to share with them. Pray that their heart will be open to receive that. And pray that they would come to a place of faith in Jesus. I know my wife and I have a list of people we pray for every day that are lost. All of us need to be praying for people who are lost. Let's stand together. Worship the Lord. If you need to pray, come and let's pray together this morning.